Have a look with me at Deuteronomy 31, and you will have it in front of you. This little thing here. If you are a newcomer, on the back is a Connect form. Please, please do fill that in and leave it at the box at the back. We'd love to serve you if we can. True to his word, Deuteronomy 31, we'll be reading from verse 1. So, Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today, and I'm no longer able to go. So it's his birthday, by the way. I don't know if you noticed. I am no longer able to go out and come in, and the Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then Moses wrote this law, and he gave it to the priests and the sons of Levi who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men, the women, the little ones, the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. And be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you're going over the Jordan to possess. Now, I've got to confess to all of you, I am a little bit cynical by nature. Maybe some would say a little bit negative as well. And I need to tell you, it really annoys me. I don't like it at all. Or maybe everyone is cynical, or maybe I'm just being cynical. Look, I don't know. But anyway, so I find myself, whenever something good is happening, I find myself thinking this, yeah, how long is this going to last? It's in my nature. I can't bear it. You know, if the sun finally comes out in Perth, I'm like, how long before it snows again? You know, I'm like always, you know. Something good happens, and instead of enjoying the moment and enjoying this good thing that's happening, I'm thinking, when's this going to come to an end? You know, it's just my nature. I can't bear it. And I need to change. I admit that, etc. Now, you may not be as bad as me, but I guess in all of us, it's a little bit of human nature to look into the future and get a bit cynical. You know, just a little bit. Something really good happens, okay? And instead of enjoying it, we look into the future and we think, how long before this falls apart? I think a lot of us are like that. And probably good reason. Because we've seen it all before so many times. Something good happens. Something starts, and oh my goodness, it looks amazing, and before long, cracks appear, and it starts to crumble. I could give you examples. You start a sports club, and it's excitement and enthusiasm, and everyone jumps on the bandwagon, and you get your new song, and your new, you know, it's all just great, and then you end up firing the CEO and the coach, and it all just unravels. And it's not just sporting clubs, mutual interest groups as well. You love painting wildflowers and you go on Facebook. Ooh, Dorothy also likes it. And then you start this little wildflower painting club and everyone joins and it gets bigger over time, and there's a secretary and a chairman, and members start coming, and before long, you're painting roses by yourself. Or you start a business, and you get a logo, and you get colors, and you find, it's gonna go amazing. You and Jeff Bezos are gonna be the same, you know? And then it closes down. We've seen it so many times. Now, if that's true in the world, and it is true, we know this is true, how much more true is it in a church? Let's just be honest. How many examples haven't we seen where there's a whole new thing? Everyone gets excited. There's a new vision and people start joining and there's a good thing going, you know? And it grows fast and wow, this is the new thing in town. It's freshly exciting. And then cracks start to appear and the members try and batten down the hatches and preserve things. And then you try and plaster over the cracks. And then it starts to shrink. And what was once fun and joy now becomes a chore. And that thing kicks in called loyalty, and you whip yourself and you keep going. And it shrinks, and in the end, you're left with an empty shell. Have you seen this? I've seen it. I've been in the game a while. We've all seen it. As someone once said, churches can be like you have this dynamic movement, and then it becomes a bureaucratic institution, and then it becomes a museum, a society for the preservation of the past. So here at North Coast Church, as you peer into the future, what do you see? What do you think is going to happen? Are you sitting here wondering when this is all going to come crashing down? This all happened, by the way, very quickly. When's it going to come crashing down? Well, that's exactly what God's people were thinking in Deuteronomy 31. That's what was on their minds. You've got to think where they are. Let me put you in the context. It's been an incredible journey up to Deuteronomy 31. What an amazing, talk about a movement, literally a movement. This was a phenomenal movement. It never happened in the history of the world. God rescued a people from Egypt. He brought them through the desert. What a movement. It had so much momentum. People from other nations joined them. And they were on their way to an amazing, what a vision they had. There was this amazing place just in front of them, which God had promised them. And in Deuteronomy, look at the stage. They were standing on a precipice. They were right on the edge of the promised land. And of course, they had everything for them. They had the greatest leader, arguably, the world has ever known. A guy called Moses. This guy was phenomenal. Now, let me tell you about Moses. Did you know that Moses used to meet with God face to face? No other church leaders ever experienced that. Moses met with God face. In fact, when Moses finished having his quiet times, his face used to glow, literally glow, not because of a shaved head. It glowed. Moses could do miracles. He would lift up his staff and divide water. He did signs and wonders. Moses was amazing. Moses knows where we have to go. You wake up in the morning, don't worry about it. Just Moses has got it under control. Basically, people with a leader like Moses, the sky is the limit. What could go wrong? This movement is going to last forever. Suddenly, the biggest crack opens up. Look at verse 1 and 2. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. Here comes the bombshell. Are you ready? The Lord has said to me, Guys, I've got to tell you something. God told me, you shall not go over this Jordan. Oh, my goodness. That is a devastating blow. Moses is not going to lead us anymore. Our lead pastor, in the real sense of those terms, is leaving us. He's going away. This whole thing is going to unravel very fast. This is the beginning of the end. The future looks horrible. I knew it. I knew it. I knew this was too good to last. So what Moses does in Deuteronomy 31, by the way, in the book of Deuteronomy, from chapter 31, the orientation is future. They start looking forward. There's been a bit of that earlier, but particularly from 31. And in this passage, Moses is going to tell them something. Everyone hear this. It does not have to unravel. Hear that. There is no law that says it must fall apart. There is no sell-by date. There is a formula. A formula which will ensure that it continues to be successful. And the formula is on the screen in front of you. True to his word. That's the secret. That's the secret to success. That's the secret to the future. And it means two things. God will be true to his word, but we, the people of God, must be true to his word. That's what Moses is going to tell them in Deuteronomy 31. And this morning I'm going to invite you to look with me to the future, especially as we head up towards Advance Appeal. And I'm going to ask you not to be cynical, but to look at what Moses says. And if we remain true to his word, we know God will remain true to his word. So watch. Watch with me. Here's the first thing we learned this morning about the future. The Lord, go back one. The Lord will go before us. This is the most comforting thing. Moses is dying. So look with me at verse 1. Look at this language. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel. He said to them, I'm 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you're not going with them. You shall not go over this Jordan. Now, everyone, look. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you will dispossess them. Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. Look at verse 4. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. Verse 5. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment I have commanded you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, nor be in dread of them. Look at this. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. Can you see what Moses is saying? It's the Lord who goes ahead of you. Don't be afraid. Think of Israel. Everyone, think of it. As they look at the future, what can they see? Think with me. Picture the scene. The Israelites are standing there on the plains of Moab. These are windswept plains. Down in front of them is this gorge, this huge valley. And up on the other side is this foreign country. They're foreigners. They're foreign people. Their language, we don't talk their language. I don't even understand them. Their cultures are strange. I don't know what it's like. They settled and they're strong. Do you know it's a land flowing with milk and honey? Do you know what milk and honey will do for you? It'll make you big and strong. They got fortresses like Jericho. You should see Jericho. Us Israelites have never built a chalet. They've got Jericho. They've got ancient religions deeply ingrained in their psyche. There's so few of us. Look at us. There's so few of us. They spread out over this land. We're just a bunch of ex-slaves. We're a bunch of gypsy nomads. We look weird. We look strange to them. You know what? Our God is invisible. You can't even see him. You should see their gods. First of all, they got lots. One of their gods, Baal, is so strong. He's like a bull. You can see him. And you get to have sex when you worship him. We don't do that. They have so much fun. How are we going to have any impact on them? There's no chance. No chance. No future. Moses is not even coming with us. Don't you feel that sometimes? Seriously, can you relate? You look at Perth. Look at Perth. Did you see them all at the footy last night? Look at all those people in a land filled with milk and honey and beer. And there's so few of us. We're so small. And they're so big. And they're so strong. And there's so many of them. And they are disinterested. And their gods are, have you seen their gods? Health, wealth, prosperity. Those are awesome gods. Some of our own people have sold out to those gods. And they're ancient and they're strong. Even we feel attracted to their gods. So I look at Perth. I just get frightened. I just get scared. Look at verse 6. Be strong, courageous. Don't be afraid, nor be in dread of them. It is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God says he will go ahead of us. He will lead us. The Lord will be true to his word. But if he's going to be true to his word, then you know what we must be. We must be true to his word. And those are the four things we're going to look at this morning very quickly. Here's the first of those. The Lord will go before us if we follow our Joshua. Moses is very clear on that. Look at what he says in verse 3. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you. You'll possess them. Look at this. And Joshua will go over at your head. Look at verse 7. Moses summoned Joshua and he said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. You shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. Look at this. You shall put them in possession of it. Verse 8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will. I got confused there. So who's going to give them the land? Is it the Lord or is it Joshua? Which one? And the answer is, it is the Lord through Joshua. If we want God to be true to his word, we must follow Joshua. God's people must follow the leader God appoints. And the leader will take them into the promised land. And it's so kind of God. Well, you all, this is so generous of God. It's his grace and mercy and condescension that he appoints a human leader. He lets us be led by someone we can see. God is invisible, right? How can you follow God? You can't see him. So he appoints someone you can see, a human leader. Someone we can relate to, someone we can identify with, someone when Joshua says, follow me, we can look at Joshua and we can go, oh, he's got sore feet, just like me. He's got blisters on his toes, just like me. He gets tired, just like me. He gets scared, just like me. He can get killed by baddies, just like me. I can relate to this guy. And this guy can relate to me. He's one of us. So who's our Joshua? Who's our Joshua? Who's the man God has appointed to lead us? Who is it? Well, it's Joshua. His name is Yeshua. His name is Joshua. Joshua Christ. Jesus Christ. He is the leader of God's people and the only leader. The head of the church is not the Pope. It is Jesus Christ. He is the only leader. He is our Joshua that God has appointed. Only Jesus can take us into the promised land. Only Jesus can guarantee us the future. We go where Jesus goes. We follow where Jesus leads. If we want God to be true to his word, if we want the Lord to go ahead of us, we must follow the Joshua that he has appointed. Have a look at this passage from Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so easily. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to who? Where are you going to run? Run! Okay. Where must I run to? Well, look. Look to Jesus. That's where you run. The founder, and I know it says perfecter, and that's fair enough, but that word, more often than not, is translated prince or captain. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He's a man. We follow him. He leads, and we run behind him. My favorite illustration of this, which you've all heard a million times, is when you're climbing that mountain. And you're hanging, or why would you want to climb a mountain? But some people do. And you're hanging there. All your nails are broken. Your fingers are bleeding. Your face is squished against a cliff. I got nothing left in me. How am I going to go? You look down. Whoa, it's precarious. Why wasn't I on the couch today? What am I doing? You're stuck. What hope do you have? The answer is there's a rope. And when you follow that rope up, your leader has summited. He's gone ahead. He's already succeeded. He's in the promised land. And he's got you. Just keep your eyes on him. Don't look down. Don't look down. Look at him. And follow your leader. So if we want the Lord to go before us, we must follow our Joshua. Now, Dwayne, there's a problem here. So I can't see Joshua. I can't see this Jesus you're talking about. Well, wonderfully, God has done something, and that's the second thing. You want the Lord to go before you? Follow Joshua, and secondly, keep the written words. Look what he says in verse 9. Look what Moses says. Then Moses wrote this law. How do you know we got the Bible? Duh. He wrote it down. And he gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to all the elders. This is critical. Moses wrote it down because he wasn't going to be with them anymore. God's people must follow what Moses wrote. This is why true Christianity flows out of a book, a written book. There is no true Christianity outside of a written book. Everything flows from there. Our Joshua is gone. In one sense, he's not here. 2,000 years ago, he was crucified. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven, and right now he's seated at God's right hand. He's not here in one sense. He is here in his spirit, but that's another subject. So what are we going to do? He left us his written words. His apostles wrote it down for us. His words are written down for us. We must be true to his written word. Imagine if God's people decide in verse 9, well, Moses, happy birthday. You know, as for that fellow Moses, we don't know what's become of him. Anyone got an idea where we should go? Why don't we just discuss it amongst ourselves? What do you want to do? I want to do this. Anyone feel an unction? Anyone feel, you know, should we go, what, this promised land, why don't we go backwards rather? Or how about this? God, oh, wait, wait. God's telling me something. Shh, everyone. God told me we must plant in Joondalup. That just sounds exciting. Sounds lovely. It's what we want to do. But it's not what God told me. When someone says that, I always look at them. You don't look like a written book to me. We only trust what is written. We stick to what is written. We follow the written words only. You want to plant in Joondalup? Sounds great to me. It's a good idea. Let's discuss it. Let's go. But don't say God told you. God told me what's written and nothing else. That's the only way to be true to His word. This is why churches that start so well end up crumbling over time, because they're following words that are not written. Look at the Apostle Paul's about to die. So he also writes. And he writes his last letters. This is probably the last letter he wrote. Look what he says to his little protege, Timothy. I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by His appearing and His kingdom, I can't think of anything more serious to charge you with. Preach the word. Don't make new ones. Don't write extra stuff. Preach the written word and nothing else. And be ready. Oh, they won't like that. I know. They'll be offended. But you be ready in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Don't make up new stuff. Do you know why? Look at the next as the passage comes. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. They want new stuff, fresh stuff. And they'll have itching ears. They'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They'll turn aside from what is written, listening to the truth, and wander off into myths. But you, stick to what is written. Don't add to it, and don't take away from it either. If you want the Lord to go with before us, carry on there, you will have to keep the written words. But thirdly, how do we keep the written words? The answer is, we teach the written words. We teach them. Look at what Moses says in verse 9. Moses wrote this law, and what did he do with it? He gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And look what he did. And to all the elders of Israel. This is so important. If God's people are going to survive, the word of God mustn't be in the hands of one person or two persons or three persons. It must be disseminated. All the elders have the words of God, so that all the people can have the words of God. If the word of God is retained by an elite few, that church will corrupt over time. Church history is full of these examples. I hope you know about a man called William Tyndale. Have you ever heard of William Tyndale? Fantastic guy in England about 500 years ago. He studied Greek. And he studied Hebrew, and he decided, do you know what he decided to do? He decided to translate the Bible into English. Can you believe it? Do you know why? He wanted all God's people to have the written word. Well, the Roman Catholic Church were furious with him. They arrested him, strangled him, and burnt him at the stake. Do you know why? Because they believed that the average person can't understand the Bible. The magisterium alone interprets the Bible. The Pope is infallible. He alone can tell us what God says, and you guys don't know. Do you know what William Tyndale said before he died? I defy the Pope and all his laws. If God spare my life, ere many years I will cause a boy that driveth the plow to know more of the scripture than the Pope does. God wants all his people to have his written word. And that's why at North Coast Church for the future, we train everyone. Everyone. You are welcome on Thursday nights to Bible ministry training, where we train how to understand the Bible. All our growth group leaders get notes helping them to understand the Bible. All our growth groups sit together and pore over the Word of God together. And every Sunday morning, look at this. Look at this. No one here is wondering where Dwayne's getting this from. Look, look. The words of God are in front of you. We all study the Word. Everyone has access to the written Word. Everyone sits under the authority of the written Word. And that's how we remain true to His Word. And if we do that, the Lord will remain true to His Word. Finally, look at the fourth thing. The Lord will go before us if we follow our Joshua, if we keep the written words, if we teach the written words. And lastly, if we gather regularly to hear and obey the written words. Turn over the page and look at what Moses says. Verse 10. So Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths. Look at it. Every 7 years, at the set time, at the Feast of Booths, all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose. You shall read this law before all Israel in the hearing. Verse 12, assemble the people, men, women, little ones. The sojourner, I never know, should I say sojourner or sojourner? I don't know. That person within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. Be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as, look at the future, as long as you live in the land you are going over the Jordan to possess. All about the future. What's the fourth thing we must do? We must gather regularly to hear and obey the written words. Moses said, come together regularly. Gives them set times. We don't have to follow those exact set times, but regularly come together to hear his words. Now, I know, this rubs against our individualistic culture. See, here's the thing. Why should I come to church? Why should I gather? I can stay at home. Me and wifey, the coffee's better at home. We sit in comfort on the couch. We don't need the hassle of finding a car park. They're having a competition at the gym, so we've lost that whole car park this morning. I can stay at home in my PJs and my Ugg boots. Wifey can leave her curlers in her hair. No one will mind. We don't need to smile. And best of all, we can download Piper, because he's way better than our preacher. So why go to church? Why assemble? First of all, God commands it. So we could stop right there. God commands it. But let's think more. Why? Because, people, there is something special, something spiritual, when God's people gather together, not to sing, that's awesome. That's not it. To hear the written words. Read and explained. Do you know why? I'll give you three reasons. One, it's a covenant community. Just like Israel on the edge of the promised land, they are the covenant people of God. So Christians today are the covenant people of God. We have been incorporated. Where does the word corporated come from? It comes from the word corpus, which means body. When you became a Christian, you were grafted in. You were incorporated. You are part of the body of Christ, of whom he is the head. And so when the body assembles, even if you're a toenail, you want to be there. You're part of that body. It's a covenant thing. Nobody comes to church and leaves their fingers at home. You're part of the body. We gather together. Two, when we assemble, the gift are all there together. especially the gift of preaching, teaching, and prophecy, which we very much believe in. Look at 9 to 13. Look again at verse 9. Moses wrote this law and he gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. What, I was listening this morning to the book of Ezra, how God's people have many leaders and they get up and they, I'll quote, and they explain the plain sense of the words. The reason we gather is because everyone has the written word of God. Everyone has the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit gives gifts to some who teach it and explain it and apply it. And that's the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is to apply the gospel to the lives of people. Thirdly, that was wrong. Never been good at numbers. Thirdly, accountability. Accountability. We gather together to hold each other accountable to these written words. When we're together, we can go, hey, buddy, that's not what we said. That's not what we heard. Or, hey, bro, that's not what God said. That's not what we heard. Or, hey, mate, you know, what you're doing doesn't line up with what we've been hearing. See? We hold each other accountable. Look at what it says in Hebrews. Look at what it says there. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Look at this. But encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the final day approaching. And so at our church, we gather at set times. Every Sunday. Growth groups during the term, we always take a break in holidays, and one-to-one groups. We have set times where all God's people gather together to sit under the word of God. Now, God will always be true to his word. The Lord will go before us if we follow our Joshua, Jesus. If we keep the written words. If we teach the written words. If we gather regularly to hear and obey the written words. Can I give it to you in a horrible sentence? What is North Coast Church about? Horrible sentence. We are about a revival of the Bible. That's what North Coast Church is about. On Thursdays at 6:30, we have a revived prayer meeting, and it has transmormonized. And now it's just called a revival of the Bible, where we plead with God that there will be a fresh pouring out of his Spirit across Perth, and God's people will return to the written word. Let me close with one final question. Look at verse 1 and 2. Okay, so Moses dies. Moses continues to speak all these words to Israel. He said to them, I'm 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. Everybody, why? Why can't Moses lead them into the promised land? You say he's too old. In your growth groups, I've set some questions. One of the things you'll look up is Deuteronomy 34, which tells us that Moses was as vigorous as ever. It wasn't because he's too old. Why? And the answer is, I mean, just think of Moses. The prophet of God. The old covenant came through Moses. The law was given through Moses. But he can't take people into the promised land. What is the Holy Spirit teaching us this morning through the fact that Moses can't take them into the promised land? And it's obvious. Moses is not the guy. We need another Moses. We need a prophet even better than Moses. That's what we're being taught. Moses' face glowed when he spoke to God. That's impressive. We need another prophet where when we look into his face, we see the glory of God in all its fullness. Moses saw God face to face. I'd like to see God. We need a new covenant. You all know this old covenant fell apart. It was a good thing and it didn't last. We need a new covenant that won't be external, but that'll be internal and change our hearts. A covenant that is based not on performance, like this one, but on someone else having performed for us. We need a covenant that doesn't deal with the blood of animals, because that can never take away sin. We need a covenant that can really deal with sin. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the prophet, the final, not Muhammad. Jesus is the final prophet. Because he doesn't just bring us the words of God, he is the word of God in flesh. Jesus shed his blood on the cross. He died on that cross to institute the new covenant based on the forgiveness of sins. The bottom line is that Jesus is the guarantee that we will enter the promised land. He's better than Moses in every conceivable way. And so God ordained that we learn this, that Moses will not take you into the promised land. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, will take us there. Everything I said about North Coast churches, I'm very aware this morning that I've been speaking to us as a corporate body because we've got advance appeal coming up. But everything I said to you this morning also applies to you as an individual. Let me close with this verse. I want you to take heart. Look what this verse says. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. People, you need to keep looking to your Joshua, Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be strong. Be courageous, which in your growth groups you'll explore and see that actually means trust and obey. That's another subject. Don't be afraid. On the cross, Jesus beat up your baddies. Sin, Satan, death are defeated. He's won the day. He will be true to his word. All you have to do is be true to his word. Why don't I give you a few moments? I forgot to say, we're happy to take a couple of questions. But let's all bow our heads and let's just recommit ourselves to the written word. Let's all bow our heads, just a couple of moments of quiet. Think about what we've heard from the Holy Spirit this morning. In the quietness of your own heart, as God's people corporately gather, why don't every single one of us commit ourselves again to the written words of God? Let's all confess where we have treated them casually, where we haven't obeyed them. Father, don't let North Coast Church be proud, arrogant, having your word, but not listening to it and not obeying it. Help us to recommit ourselves to relentlessly pursue the vision which comes directly out of your written word. Please make us strong, courageous, and stick to the text. We ask it in the name of our Joshua, our captain, our forerunner, In his name we pray. Amen.